degrees, a low temperature of 59 degrees.
Do you ever ponder? Do you ever wonder? Do you ever question? In my server serving me, your computer will print. Should you call the president? What in the world are you gonna do? Call Adam, the computer guy. Call Adam. Don't know the reason why. Do you find it a waste of time? Because you cannot hear online. Call Adam, the computer guy. Or go online to AdamTheComputerGuy.com. There's a click of the mouse.
Well, thank you, Paul, Marion's Minister of Musical Masterpieces, Mr. Paul Savage, along with his lovely wife, Glenna. They are the hosts and stars of the show Heaven Express every Sunday afternoon here on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH. And speaking of talking, it's time to talk technology topics on a Thursday with me, Adam Lepp, the computer guy. Good morning. Thank you so much for listening. Really appreciate it. A little chipper today because, as you might have seen if you're a Facebook follower of mine, I stopped at one of the local convenience stores / gas stations in the area, picked up a 24-ounce cup of coffee, and gosh, it tastes good. Love the coffee. Good stuff. Makes my voice and my vocal cords perform at their maximum capacity and fabulousness, and I really appreciate you tuning in. You won't be disappointed. So grab some coffee or tea or your favorite beverage of your own. We're going to talk about some of the developments in the world of technology, of science, of computers, of information, things like that. With me, Adam Lepp, until 10 a.m. And we have a phone call already. I do believe it's one of my regular and expected listeners. So let's see. Who will be ringing me this morning? Good morning. You are on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show.
Oh, good morning, Adam. How are you today?
Oh, fantastic. I believe this is Brandon Oak, a purveyor of topics from all angles, a man with excellent opinions, and I must say, not a bad radio persona whatsoever. How are you today, my friend?
Oh, just doing great. Woke up nice and early today and getting my notes organized, and yeah, it's a good day so far.
Well, that's good. Nice weather outside, I tell you. It's maybe a little too warm to be drinking hot coffee, but that's okay. I'm not really a morning person, but I tell you, radio makes me happy, and I love sharing my wealth of knowledge and opinions with the listening audience. And of course, you're from the area, but not close enough that you could listen the old-fashioned way, but you listen through your phone or your computer or laptop or tablet or one of those devices at our website, WWGH1071.com. As you probably know, Brandon, yours truly has done a lot of upgrades to the website and the mobile capabilities since I came aboard back in January. Why don't you tell our listeners first, before we discuss the topics, maybe some of the best things about our website and our online presence.
Well, for one, I'd say it's very organized, very easy to, you know, skim through, so to speak, very easy, you know, to find shows you're looking for if you want to listen live or to past shows and so on and so forth. So it's very user-friendly, to say the least.
Brandon, as a, you know, you're quite an aficionado, quite an expert on some of the hair bands, the 80s and 90s music, and radio in general. A lot of the best music, you know, isn't current music. It's from the 70s and 80s and 90s, as I think we agree, even though we're of different ages. I'm sure you've looked at other radio station websites. How does ours compare even to some of the big guys?
Well, I mean, personally, I like, well, not the, you know, but I do like WWGH's better, just because it is, in a better way, it's simple, but in a good way. And then it's much more fluent and, again, you're very user-friendly compared to even the big ones that are just have all of these.
Right, just too much. fluff and things you don't really need. I think our site does get to the point. Now, we have a diverse lineup of talk. I mean, later today, Mary Ellen Withrow, and she's actually the only person who's ever been a treasurer at the local, state, and national level. She'll be in studio, because she lives in the Marion area, with our very own program manager, Scott Spears. He's talked to Dear Abby, Charlotte Ray, Mrs. Garrett, Pat Carroll, an actress who's been around a lot longer than I've been alive. We had tributes to the late and great Muhammad Ali a couple weeks ago. Wonderful array of guests, plus our own local legend, Charlie Evers. He follows me. So with this wide range of shows and hosts that we have, I'm able to kind of mesh it all together into a website that I think not only looks good, but is easy to use. So I appreciate your compliments, Brandon. I mean, I look at this station as one that, in terms of content, rivals not just Columbus or Cleveland, but New York City or Chicago, considering the guests that we have. And the ease of listening via TuneIn or by clicking on the play button. As an aficionado of some of the classic rock music, Brandon, I'm sure you've looked at a lot of, I'm kind of curious also, looked at a lot of websites of bands. What's your opinion of a lot of band websites? Are they too busy like a lot of radio stations, or are they easy to use, or is it just go ahead and buy a record like you did back in the 70s and 80s and just don't even worry about the website?
Well, it kind of really depends on the band and just kind of how big they are. I mean, you have some of the bigger acts, like let's say Aerosmith. I mean, their website seems pretty straightforward and easy to, you know, access and look up their history and all that, and I don't know. I mean, but I'd say they're more of a top 40 kind of stuff is more complicated because it does tend to attract a younger crowd, so there's more distractions, I would say.
Yeah, so I'm thinking, you know, music, the internet can be used to interact with almost any type of business, and you know, music and bands are a business, but nothing really beats putting on the headphones and cranking up the bass and just tuning out some of your favorite music, no matter what kind it is.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to overplay the importance or necessity of the website when we listen to music via the radio or, of course, through one of your favorite bands. So I just wanted to get your opinion, Brandon, as someone who's kind of been involved in music. And, you know, you're not a bad singer either. You know, you can also build out a tune or two.
And, I appreciate that.
I guess you're probably one of the unique people who has a talking voice as well as a singing voice. I tell people, you know, I sing and I'm passable on some songs, but I don't have the range of Whitney Houston, for example.
Nobody does.
Maybe I have 2/3. Well, Minnie Riperton, she had a 5 vocal range. Remember the song "Loving You"? Of course, that song is older than you. But she was thought of as having a 5-octave range, which is unheard of. I mean, I think most rock singers. I mean, Axl Rose, Rob Alford, for example, the singers that can belt out a high note and also sing a little more deeply. I would assume they're in the 2 to 3-octave range.
Mm-hmm.
And me, I'm in maybe the 1/2-octave range. But as I tell people, I have more of a talking voice than a singing voice. I'm passable on some songs, but not going to quit my day job anytime soon. And in your case, yeah, you can definitely belt out a couple high notes, and it's good to have that because it isn't a common skill by any means. So never know what we're going to talk about here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. We kind of look at tech from all angles. And if you have a question or comment, or like Brandon, you'd like to be a regular commentator on the show, please feel free to send me an email. Get out the voice recognition software, the keyboard, the touchpad, or whatever your communication medium of choice is. My address is adam@wwgh1071.com. Now, Brandon, you had a couple topics you want to talk about and things that you feel are relevant and a bit entertaining. We don't want to take anything too seriously, but some of the stuff is rather cool, and that's spelled K-E-W-L. See, I can be hip also, you know. Don't let my age fool you. I could be as hip as the next guy. There's a gadget out called the Tap Strap, and those of us who maybe are too lazy to type, it lets you type, I guess, just by kind of playing with your fingers. Kind of a cool little gadget. What's your impression of this device, Brandon?
I think it's actually really impressive. I was looking up its, mods, or so to speak, its uses. For one, I mean, it seems really convenient. It has had a lot of potential, I'd say. I mean, even for being just in the beta testing, but so far it's got 31 possible finger taps, It comes with an app that teaches you how to use it within an hour. It has 99% accuracy when typing, and then it has a prospect for alternate reality, virtual reality products, and even for the visually impaired. And it also works with any mobile phone, so it seems really a really cool concept, and I hope it takes off.
Are you talking about that, Brandon? You know, I'm kind of excited. You know, my birthday was 2 weeks ago. We missed my birthday, so I guess you can save up for Christmas. That's okay. Maybe that'll be a cool Christmas present for your favorite radio talk show host.
No yourself.
a couple of comments on my end. You know, as I think we agree, Brandon, you know, you're younger, but you're old school in a lot of ways, and we've agreed that technology kind of makes people, all ages, not just young people, a little bit lazy. And do you think that this is going to kind of encourage the laziness where, you know, my mother, I mean, when she went to school, she could type 100 words a minute. She was an incredible secretary typist I'd ever seen in my lifetime. And that wasn't uncommon to learn typing and type and at a very high speed. Of course, they now call typing keyboarding, which I can understand because, you know, no one knows what a typewriter is. No one who's under 30 has even seen a typewriter. You know, maybe other than yourself has ever seen a typewriter, but, you know, typing or keyboarding. But with the finger dexterity, the learning where the letters and characters are, and now we have the touchpads, we have voice recognition, we have the swipe typing. I never use that, but whatever it's called, I know some people I know kind of swear by it. But do you think that something like this does encourage the laziness, not learning how to type or keyboard, whatever they call it, and it's just one more thing to do just to make things a little bit too easy and a little bit too available? Or am I over-dramatizing by saying that?
Well, I would say you would have to kind of know, you know, how to type, because I think it bases it off an actual keyboard, so you kind of have to know where keys are to actually type. So I don't think it promotes laziness. I think if anything, it for convenience, it's a great tool, and especially if you know how to type and are, you know, used to using your fingers in that way, I think that will make it easier for people on the go who don't have a keyboard with them 24/7, I guess.
So. Okay, so almost ironically, you do have to kind of know where the letters are.
Yeah, I would say so.
And I was thinking it does some of the predictive typing, where you just type in a couple letters and your phone just magically knows what word it is. It's not clear to me if it does that or not. So maybe it's a case where you do really have to know how to type, and even more so, since there's no physical keyboard, you have to know where the letters are. So maybe it's actually 180 from what I'm saying.
I think you do. It does do word prediction to a point, but I mean, you do have to know, you know, where the letters are without actually looking, kind of thing. So, it's kind of a mix, I'd say, more or less.
Okay, so it sounds like the benefits are great, and although it's good for me to bring up that, is it going to encourage the laziness and just making things too easy? Maybe it doesn't, because you have to kind of know where the letters are. Maybe it's a good way to learn the keyboard, because, you know, in the olden days when my parents and grandparents went to school, they had typewriters without the letters on them. They would take the letters off so you would remember where they were, and people would know that, you know, the QW or ERTY, etc. And this almost encourages that. So maybe at the same time of being something convenient and very cool and convenient, you don't want to have to carry a keyboard in your pocket all the time. I mean, they have the foldable keyboards, but this kind of makes any surface, a typing surface, you actually have to know where the letters are. So maybe we should brush up on our keyboard skills, or keyboarding, or typing, whatever they call it.
And what I do like about it is the possibilities with it, aside from, you know, virtual reality devices. It can enable the visually impaired to be able to type without having a voice recognition or any of that kind of voice typing, as you would say.
Right, and that's one thing I heard. I'm very interested in how people with disabilities can use the internet, how it can help them.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard that's if anything, is probably one of the most important things about this device. You might have heard my talk a couple weeks ago about the wheelchair that can climb stairs, and I said, boy, that is just cool, but not only that, it can be an incredible help for some people.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You often don't realize obstacles people with even a minor handicap might have, and once I heard that, I said, yeah, that is perhaps one of the biggest benefits of all. And I think something like this may become a bit of the wave of the future. And I definitely will follow this and maybe even buy it for myself as an early holiday gift-giving season present, assuming the price is within reason. You know, radio people, we don't make a lot of money, so if it's within my budgetary constraints, I think it'll be okay.
I think... Well, right now, it's hyped that beta testing is supposed to be released later this year. I think it didn't say give it a specific date, but as is, it's listed at $119, which we need for technology with that capacity. I'd say that's a pretty good price.
Well, next time I hit it lucky at the slot machine, I'll save up my pennies and maybe I'll maybe we'll see what we can do there. You never know. I think I deserve a present for myself. That's okay. So, any more thoughts on this this virtual anywhere keyboard wizardry?
I'll just say that I'll be looking forward to see what happens with the next and when it actually gets released later this year. I mean, so.
We had another item that you told me about called the Beach Vault underground container. Protects your valuables at the beach. That's always a problem because swimsuits don't really come with pockets, and some people, well, they skinny dip, and there's obviously no pockets there. So what do you do with your valuables? And goodness sakes, God forbid you lose your phone. How would you keep it safe? And so the Beach Vault, produced, I guess, by Insider Design is the website that talks about it. They've come up with this gadget that makes sure that when you do go to the beach, that you won't have to worry about the horrible prospect of losing your smartphone. Because, you know, a lot of people, pretty much most people are kind of tied to the smartphone anyway. And it would seem like losing your smartphone would be worse than losing your car in some cases. So what's your take on this gadget, Brandon?
I'd say it's about time. It has a very practical use. I mean, with only one minor downside is the fact that it doesn't necessarily lock, because I think when I saw you that the top just kind of screws on, but it does come with a special towel to put over it, and then just long as no one sees you, you know, bury the vault, I guess you wouldn't even know it was there. So I think it's a very cool idea, actually, very convenient.
Yeah, it's like a big hollow screw. You screw it into the sand being soft, so it's not like you're taking an auger into the ground or anything. And then it makes like a little hollow cap. It almost looks like one of those orange barrels they put on the road to make our driving difficult. That's almost what it looks like. Mm-hmm. And then you have a hole that you put your wallet, your sunglasses, your phone, your tablet, whatever else. Then you put a towel over it, and no one knows that it's actually under the towel. Kind of like one of those secret hiding places, like where they take a book and they turn it into a safe or something, but it's available to use at the beach. Very intriguing. I think it's one of those simple ideas, Brandon, where you and I might say, why didn't I think of that? Well, somebody did.
Yeah, pretty much. I was like, wow.
Yeah, some of the most obvious things. Reminds me of that commercial for the invention submission place where the lady said, everybody made fun of my pot, which cooked and drained spaghetti. You know, if I would have had a patent, I'd be a millionaire. You remember that commercial? It's almost like what it sounds. And I guess it's not really the most high-tech device, but sometimes the high-tech thought process produces gadgets like this, so it doesn't necessarily have to be something as high tech as that virtual keyboard we just talked about.
But it does protect your high tech devices in a roundabout way, doesn't it?
Yeah. Plus, you do want it to be sure. Yeah, right. That it's protected from the sun and the elements and the insects, things that you would get at the beach, because you never quite know whom you're sharing the beach with. It comes in. It's basically a hole you put your wallet and your sunglasses if the sun doesn't come out, or your smartphone or whatever, your car keys, whatever else. So yeah, it seems like something which I think obviously won't be overly expensive. There's no power. There's really no processor to it. It's just a piece of plastic with a towel. So something as simple as that, yeah, it could be a boon to somebody. And we've all either lost our smartphones or keys, or thought that we did, and ended up it was right under our nose or something. So something like this, you'll kind of know where your gadgets are. So any more thoughts on that before we get to our third topic there, Brandon?
No, I was just going to put up the towel. It is a very special towel. It has a little circular part where you actually put over it, so you actually access it with easy enough. So that was another thing.
Okay,
it's
so you can actually
towel. Special towel comes with.
Oh, it's a special towel. Okay, it's not like a regular towel from Walmart.
Well, it's got the hole in it to where you access.
Okay. Well, that certainly is intriguing. Okay, and we also have the. It's a bird. It's not a bird, and it's definitely not a plane. I'm not quite sure what this is, Brandon. Why don't you share with us, because this is just so intriguing. Even Adam and his Zen, a somewhat high-tech creative mind, isn't quite sure what this last device is.
Oh, would you be talking about the Transit Elevated Bus?
Yes, the Transit Elevated Bus. That would be the T bus as opposed to Columbus, which we call C bus. This is the uh-huh. Now if Columbus had it would be the C bus T bus, but that would be, we'll save that for another show. So what's your take on this gadget, the T bus, Brandon?
Oh well, calling it a gadget, so undermining. I mean, you saw the size of this thing; it's incredible. I think it holds up to 1,200 people. It glides over traffic, so to speak. It just kind of goes over the cars, at least two car widths. This is taking place in China, just so we all know. It's a fairly new concept. It's only going to cost $4.5 million, which seems like a lot, but that's only 1/16 of the cost of a subway train. So that's something, and it is solar powered, so it saves on energy as well.
So it's very green, and that's good, especially in large cities where pollution and smog and emissions, even with cars mm-hmm. being more fuel efficient, we have more electric cars and hybrid cars. It's still a problem. Pollution is not going away; it's getting worse, especially in some areas. It's mm-hmm. it's a green solution, and it's almost like a temporary elevated bypass where there is some places. I mean, you know, again, you being a native of the Cincinnati area, we know about the Brent Spence Bridge, which is a two-level bridge, and it's almost like a temporary two-level traffic solution, but not a bridge and where cars are driving and polluting. It's kind of a temporary bypass. Kind of have to see it to believe it. Do you think something like this would help in congested cities like New York or even Columbus or Cleveland, which sometimes have traffic issues?
Well, I mean, again, since this is in China, one of the most congested, you know, countries in the world, I would say yes. I mean, if you can fit this gigantic thing there, I don't see why you couldn't translate it over here in the States. And not to mention, again, it can carry 1,200 people. That to me is just incredible.
So it's carrying 1,200 people in this big traffic jam, essentially an elevated bus. And do you think there would be issues with the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration or the EPA or just safety issues, things that, as you know, the United States is very particular about making sure things are safe, and I'm all for that. We don't want to lose one life because of something like this. Would there be safety issues? Would drivers be willing and able to coexist with something like this? There's been a lot of press about the bike lanes and cars not yielding like they're supposed to, and kind of some bad blood between bicyclists. You know, there's always been bad blood between bicyclists, motorcyclists, and cars. And would this cause a problem like that, or am I being a little too
well,
careful, or is it such a good idea it's worth a try? What's your take on that?
Well, in this case, I mean, you probably wouldn't want to get in its way just because of its massive size, but I mean, I guess you would have to have kind of regulations up to where it can pass through and just not anywhere. Like, probably keep it in the major cities, not on highways or anything like that, but just in very congested areas. It could replace the entire bus system. I mean, honestly, here in Columbus, if you really think about it, I mean, if you had a couple of those, I mean, that's 2,400 people. I mean, just keep it running. I mean, who knows? It has great potential, I think.
So the C bus, T bus could be a reality.
One day, hopefully, actually, it'd be really nice to see, actually.
Yeah, I'm definitely intrigued by this. We've kind of covered technology from different angles, things that are convenient, things that are cool as well as functional and can help out handicapped people. This also, I think, could be a help for handicapped people, as we could certainly integrate an elevator of some kind for people that do use a wheelchair. It's obviously helpful for those who are blind and can't drive. So there are many things, many repercussions, I think, of this. Many good things that can occur from it, and we'll just have to see what happens. You know, in 2016, there's something new in the high-tech world pretty much every day. So anything else you'd like to share with us today, Brandon? Really appreciate your calling. Whenever you do phone in, there's always some interesting insight, and of course, you occasionally do make a live appearance here in the studio. I promised to buy you coffee, and I always come through.
Well, I mean, I had the three subjects. Maybe next year I'll come up with more, because apparently I was in the mood to talk. No, I think for now, I think that covers it on my end for today, but I'll be sure to tune in next week for sure.
Oh, well, that would be wonderful, Brandon. I really appreciate it. Be sure to continue to tell your friends and business associates about the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. And again, Mary Ellen Withrow, the treasurer of the United States of America, signer of millions and millions of dollar bills, treasurer under President Clinton, or possibly to be known at some time as President Clinton number one. She'll be in the studio with Scott later today, and we have archives of shows from the last several months available at WWGH1071.com. Thanks again, Brandon, for calling in today. Have a great rest of your Thursday, and I'm sure we'll talk to you soon.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Brandon. Right. You too. Thank you.
As I say, TTFN. Of course, that's ta-ta for now. Of course, we are taking your telephone calls here live in the studio. Pick up the phone, your cell phone, your phone that's not quite so smart, your rotary dial phone, your push-button phone from your grandma's house, or whatever you use to communicate with me. I'd love to hear from you. 740-383-9944. It's the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, a twice-weekly feature here on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial. And online, listen anytime, as you heard Brandon and myself talk about, at WWGH1071.com. Just click on the Listen Now button or download the TuneIn app on your phone, smartphone. Good way to listen. Of course, we have our local legend, Mr. Charlie Evers, coming up right after me in about 35 minutes or so. So what kind of news do we have from the world of IT? You're probably tired of hearing about politics, as am I, but this is related really only indirectly to the political climate that we're going to be probably seeing for the next several months. Check this out. Two groups of Russian hackers burrowed into the Democratic National Committee's servers and spent months stealing information on Donald Trump, the Republican Party's presumptive presidential nominee. And that was reported on Tuesday. The Democratic National Committee had called on the security firm CrowdStrike for assistance after an in-house tech discovered evidence suggesting a breach. CrowdStrike identified, quote, two sophisticated adversaries on the network. That's according to their CTO, Dmitry Alperovich. And these adversaries were named Cozy Bear and Fancy Bear. He said they are some of the best adversaries out of all of the numerous nation-state criminal and hacktivist/terrorist groups we encounter on a daily basis. Their tradecraft is superb. Operational security second to none, and the extensive usage of living off the land techniques enables them to easily bypass many security solutions that they encounter. The hackers used advanced methods consistent with nation-state level capabilities, including repeatedly re-entering the network to change out their implants, modifying persistent methods, moving to new channels, and performing other tasks to avoid detection. Both groups engage in extensive political and economic espionage for the benefit of the government of the Russian Federation and are believed to be closely linked to the Russian government's powerful and highly capable intelligence services. Now, Cozy Bear, also known as Cozy Duke and APT-29, last year infiltrated the unclassified networks of the White House, the State Department, and the Joint Chiefs of Staff in the United States, and has targeted a variety of business and government organizations, including colleges and other educational institutions. It uses a broadly targeted spear phishing campaign that delivers various sophisticated remote access tools, they're known as RATs, R-A-T-s, to target machines. So some news that touches on information security and privacy and, of course, politics and things like that. We try to keep you abreast of the latest news in the world of technology, computers, smartphones, and phones that aren't quite so smart. Here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, a twice-weekly feature here on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH. We are taking your telephone calls here live in the studio at the Marion Center Mall. Number is 740-383-9944. Adam Lepp here. Visit my website to find out more about me, my telephone number, Facebook link, email, all that good stuff, adamthecomputerguy.com. So, what is Apple up to? Well, on Monday, they kicked off their Worldwide Developers Conference with the biggest ever release of their mobile operating system. We have another telephone call, and we appreciate people calling in today. Always makes the show fun and enjoyable. Good morning. You're on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. Okay, we'll ask the caller again. Please call back. Sometimes we have an occasional technical difficulty. If not a show about technology, that happens. Please give me a call back, 740-383-9944. Would love to hear from you. Anyway, the new iOS, Apple's mobile operating system, is called iOS 10. The caller has called back, and I appreciate it. Stand by, please. Good morning. You're on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. Hello. Hello. You're on the Adam the Computer Guy show.
Hello.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. That was actually my fault. Even IT people, my friend, make mistakes.
There you go.
Or maybe
I just turned my iPod on, and I've got a nice striped wallpaper up and down. Has it died?
What that often means is that there's an issue with the display. And what I found is if you just go ahead and turn it off, wait half an hour and turn it back on again. Sometimes some of the electronic components they might have been overworked, so to speak.
And that I just had the glass replaced on it. Here probably a couple weeks ago, and they had to redo it. The antenna wasn't right, and now I turned it on this morning. I got nice wallpaper.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's a hard thing to fix. I mean, with a computer monitor, you can buy a new monitor. I mean, for $99, right, you can get a nice monitor, even the video card. None of that stuff's expensive. Of course, with a tablet, everything is kind of scrunched together. So
right.
There's not too much you can do about it. I would say bring it back to the shop that repaired it.
That's what I'll do. I'll take it back to them and see if they can perform any miracles on it.
Yeah, I don't know if, you know, I'm sure they did a fine job, but just sometimes have, just like getting anything fixed, you have a dual diagnosis and something else may have happened.
Right.
And sometimes with use also, an additional problem might occur because there may have been something else that was lingering. So,
right.
Yeah, wish it could be more helpful, sir, but it's best just, bring it back to the shop and give me a call back or send me an email. Let me know what they say.
All right,
I'm sure in my travels I'll find clients with a similar problem. And with a tablet, it is tricky because you never quite know what may be in the mix. Okay, well, thank you again for listening and for calling, and have a great day.
Right.
We do invite your calls here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show with any technology topic, or again, your opinions, questions, suggestions, or even complaints are always welcome, 740-383-9944. So speaking of Apple and their mobile operating system, their CEO Tim Cook has called the new version, iOS 10, gigantic and the mother of all releases. So iOS 10, I guess Windows 10, not to be outdone. There's an iOS 10 among the new offerings in the upcoming version of this iOS are more features in messaging, all new designs for news, music, and photos, and increased opportunities for developers to with Siri, Messages, and Maps. Apps and maps. Always like it when we rhyme. conference attendee. Again, Apple had their Mobile Developers Conference. It started last Monday. Attendee at the conference, Bob O'Donnell, who works at Tech Analysis Research, said, long term, the most interesting thing is the fact that Apple opened up Siri and messaging and maps to developers to add to those services. He said it reflects the way the world is moving. It's moving away from standalone apps and into integration with services. Apple is acknowledging that by opening these things up for other developers to provide add-on functionality for these services. Now, this new iOS, iOS 10, coming for Apple mobile devices this fall, just in time for Christmas. And as I say, Christmas season seems to start earlier every year. Surprise, there's no trees out yet. I remember I went to Costco once on August 31st, and yes, Christmas trees were available. Anyway, the new iOS enhances the user experience at the lock screen and home screen with rich notifications, as well as interaction with apps through the expanded use of 3D Touch. Another conference attendee, Craig Federighi, said, we're bringing Siri intelligence to the keyboard. So, kind of a related story to what we, Brandon and I, talked about with this virtual keyboard. We have the keyboard interacting with their virtual assistant, Siri. Much more high-tech than the manual typewriter that my mother and father used to use. Again, my mother, she could type about 100 words a minute. Unfortunately, she is deceased, but she would be very impressed by something like this, I can certainly assure you. Quite cool with a capital K. Of course, that's K-E-W-L. Anyway, QuickType has incorporated deep learning to produce more intelligent results and to react proactively to information on a screen. If someone sends you a message asking where you are, for example, you may be prompted to send a map. How's that for smartness? The photo app is in the new iOS, iOS 10, is more robust with the addition of facial recognition as well as scene and object identification. Advanced search techniques support a memories feature that automatically will scan your photos to create a montage and video of a past event. That's kind of like the Facebook videos that you see kind of toward the end of the year, or the Facebook memories. So I guess a similar idea, but I'm thinking Apple, they've got some pretty creative programmers. It might be a little bit better. Plus, it doesn't require that you do it via Facebook. The Maps app in the new iOS, surprised I said that at 9:45 in the morning, perfectly. The Maps app, which Apple, a lot of apps anyway, the Apple Maps app, not bad at all. Has opened to developers, it'll be more proactive. It not only will allow you to see traffic patterns ahead, but also will suggest alternative routes if it sees you're heading into a traffic jam. That's a pretty good idea. Always like to know where the traffic jams are and trying to get to somewhere as efficiently as possible. Also, the news and music apps are redesigned in the new iOS 10. Again, it's going to be available in the fall. A new home app is included in the portfolio of native apps. Home acts as a hub for controlling all home accessories, garage door security camera, light dimmers, and much more. The new iOS voicemail transcription to its phone app and numerous new features to Apple's messaging app, including rich links, easier insertion of photos and video into messages, and larger emojis. Messages also will display highlighted text that can be clicked for quick insertion of emojis. So if you are an iPhone or iPad user, I would suggest saving up your pennies. Probably actually should save up your dollars. You may want to purchase a device or get an upgrade to iOS 10, because if I should say so myself, it sounds like major coolness. And speaking of dollar bills, Mary Ellen Withrow has signed many, many dollar bills in her very distinguished career as a treasurer of the United States of America. And I guess I mentioned she's the only person ever to be treasurer at the local level, state level, and nationally. She was President Bill Clinton's treasurer. She'll be in during the Scott Spears Show Now, which is not being broadcast now, but she'll be on after the 1 p.m. features. discussing politics and other relevant, important, interesting issues with our very own Scott Spears. And of course, I'll be taking your telephone calls live in the studio, 740-383-9944. So again, be sure to listen. Mary Ellen Withrow is a very, put it mildly, erudite person with, again, a long, storied, distinguished career as a public servant and politician. And I invite you to listen. It's definitely worth making the coffee for, as I say. Adam Lepp here, the computer guy, with my twice-weekly radio show here on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial. Taking your telephone calls live in the studio at 740-383-9944. By the way, if you'd like to be like Brandon and some other people we have regularly as guests and be a regular commentator on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, that would just be wonderful. Best way to do that is just email me at adam@wwgh1071.com. I also invite you to be my friend on Facebook. I'm a pretty friendly guy. Just look up Adam the Computer Guy or Adam Lepp. There's a couple Adam Lepps on Facebook, but I'm the one in Ohio, of course. Or the good-looking one, I guess you could say that. Anyway, let me know you're a listener to the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. I'd love to be your friend, and we can discuss topics. We can record a segment. Or, again, you can call in or even just be live here in the studio. How about that? I'll even buy your coffee like I do for Brandon. That's the kind of guy that I am. About 53 minutes after 9 in the a.m. Good morning. Beautiful day outside, I tell you. Kind of unusual. It's very warm here in the studio. Normally I come here, and even if it's warm outside, I need to bring my hoodie. But today it's a bit on the toasty side, so that's okay. We discuss computer security issues and ransomware, where a person's computer essentially gets locked. They get locked out of their information and must pay a ransom to a hacking organization in order to decrypt their data. And sometimes when you pay that amount, it doesn't actually do anything. So it's a serious issue right now, and one that I don't think is really going to get a lot better. And so we encourage you, be sure you back up your data, and don't click on anything or open anything which looks suspicious, because if it smells like a rat, it probably is. You may wonder, how much do these unethical purveyors of ransomware make? Well, in Russia, the average ransomware boss earns the equivalent of $90,000 a year. And that's actually 13 times the average income for citizens in Russia. So what does a ransomware boss do? Basically, the job calls for supporting and maintaining this malware. Vitaly Kremez, a cybercrime intelligence analyst with Flashpoint, said the software has to be constantly updated so that antivirus systems will not recognize it as malware. It's not a situation where you provide the malware and sit back on a couch waiting for your payments. You have to work on it on a daily basis. The ransomware boss controls the source code for the malware. So again, ransomware, a very serious problem, one that I don't think is going to be getting better. So again, be sure you're careful as to what websites you go to, links you click, and programs that you open, and back up your data regularly. The malware model is evolving, according to this Flashpoint study, which focuses on the Russian ransomware scene. The report says that a new form of ransomware has been developed that is, in effect, ransomware as a service, RAAS. It enables affiliates to obtain a piece of ransomware from a crime boss and distribute it to victims as these affiliates wish. Now, that's a departure from previous methods, where ransomware was available only to criminals willing to make a large upfront payment for the malware, approximately $2,000 to rent or $5,000 to buy. And that began to change last November. We started to see developers considering giving their malware free of charge to criminals and keeping 40 to 50% of each ransomware payment made. And that comes from Vitaly Kremez, an expert. He works at Flashpoint, and they did this study. The new business model has lowered the barriers to getting into the business. It is not particularly hard for newcomers to start spreading ransomware quickly. They can attack corporations and individuals through botnet installs, as well as email and social media phishing campaigns. So, serious problem, and now it's almost like you can become a franchisee of this ransomware. Kind of scary, so again, don't be a victim. Back up your data. If there's ever a question about if you're being secure enough, what you can do to protect yourself, I suggest you contact your local friendly neighborhood computer tech person. I'll be more than happy to assist you if you choose to contact me. Again, my information, my telephone number, text, Facebook, email, etc. is available at my website, AdamTheComputerGuy.com. About 2.5 minutes before the 10 o'clock hour here at Marion's Talking Place, WWGH. And that means that I have good news and bad news. The bad news is that my show will be ending very soon. The good news is that we have lots of great content for you today and every day. 10 o'clock, we have news, weather, sports with Jared, show promos, and always a few surprises. And then it is our local broadcasting legend, Mr. Charlie Evers. Now, there's a man with a plethora of anecdotes. Again, at least as many wisecracks as I have. Interesting stories, and best of all, he even gives away prizes. How about that? Free food and other goodies. Takes your phone calls live at 740-383-9944. And then it is Now with Scott Spears between about 12:10 p.m. and 2. As I mentioned, after 1 o'clock, I'll be speaking with Mary Ellen Withrow, native of the Marion area, and she was the U.S. Treasurer and dollar bill signer under President Bill Clinton. Don't want to miss that. Some other shows that we offer throughout the week. Friday, after the 10 a.m. features, it is the Sober Joe Show. All about recovery. He has interesting guests. Take your telephone calls. Good show. Interesting insight. Definitely want to listen. Talked about Heaven Express with Paul and Glenna Sunday after the 5 o'clock features. The Wittenberg Door with Pastor Brett Cornelius every Friday after the 11 a.m. features. And of course, we get together every Tuesday and Thursday after 9 a.m. to talk today's top technology topics. On the Tuesday show, following me, it is the chat. It is over coffee, getting ahead of myself here, with Marge and Martha after the 10 o'clock features. And then after the 11 o'clock features on Tuesday, it is the chat with Linda Sims. Now, those three ladies have great stories, great insight. And, of course, they do take your telephone calls here live at 740-383-9944. I wish you a great Tuesday. It's a beautiful day outside. We had some much-needed rain yesterday. Nice late spring day in the central and mid-Ohio area. Adam Lepp here, thanking you for listening. I'll talk to you again this Tuesday at approximately 12 minutes after 9 in the a.m. on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH 107.1.